This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks. I'm here with Melissa Harris, IT Delivery Director at Unum. Hello.
Hi. Unum is the largest employee benefits provider in the United States. We currently service 30 million families that are covered by our benefit. We insure 1 in 3 Fortune 500 companies. I am the IT Delivery Director with ownership over automation and workflow for the entire enterprise. I cover Unum US and Colonial. Colonial is a wholly owned subsidiary of Unum Group. We also have a Unum International component. I don't currently support them. They are pretty segmented off from the rest of the business.
That's the UK and Polish arms, isn't it?
Yep, it used to be UK, and now they're rebranding as Unum International because they've added Poland to the block.
What's the history of RPA with Unum?
It's been an interesting history. We started with RPA in late 2015, early 2016. There was a lot of excitement about getting some operational lift. We were at a pretty critical point in our operation. Any legacy company, the size of Unum and the age of Unum, Unum's about 35 years old, and we've been through a lot of mergers and acquisitions. And through that, we have a number of mainframes, and each of those mainframes has its own subset of tightly coupled architecture. When you have these very massively old, large enterprise technical debt situations like we are in, it's really hard to keep up with volumes operationally. So when Unum found RPA, they were like, oh my gosh, here's something that we can provide to our business to get that operational lift and get some operational efficiencies very quickly, whereas any of the really big transformative projects that folks wanted to undertake were just too far out to respond to the need. So that's where we started.
You came on board fairly recently in that. There was then a change of strategy in terms of the approach to RPA. So what happened and what did you bring?
I joined Unum in 2017, actually January 1st, 2017. And I joined shared services at the end of 2017, so about a year into my career. I have almost 15 years of experience on the Pega platform, so I've been around the farm, as we like to say. It's certainly a technology that is near and dear to my heart, although I did not join Unum with the expectation that I would be doing anything with Pega. I was ready for a change. I joined shared services and saw what was happening with the RPA strategy and saw that we had a pretty critical need in our policy administration space. So we had an executive that came and spoke with myself and a product owner and said, here's our challenge. We have processes that are currently being housed on SharePoint. We have no visibility into how many of these work items we need to process. We can't do any really great reporting. We can't manage the work. We thought automation was a solution. Is it a solution? I said, no, that's probably not the right solution. We should investigate looking at a BPM platform like Pega. So we did our due diligence. We went out to the market, did some research, looked at IBM BPM, which we already had in our ecosystem. We looked at Appian. We are also a Salesforce customer, so we looked at the capabilities on Salesforce, and particularly there's a component called Velocity that sits on top of Salesforce. It's like a guided user interface. We also looked at one more, and it escapes me. Once we did our investigation, some of our core pillars that we were looking for in a platform to solve this business need was integration with our existing robotics technologies. We wanted to be able to integrate with Salesforce because we are in Salesforce and we need that visibility there. And we also wanted to purchase a platform that would support cloud-based architecture and buy over build. Given all of those major pillars, we ultimately landed on the Pega platform to solve that business need and hopefully get a little bit more efficiency out of the RPAs that we had in place. Some of the RPAs and RDAs to some certain extent.
You talk about the business need, but your approach is not to say, right, we need to do RPA as a solution. Pega, we're talking about micro journeys. So what is the right approach? Is it micro journeys? Is it journeys? Is it saying, right, we're going to build a whole RPA solution to automate everything across the whole organization?
Definitely not the latter. That's probably never a good approach, just because if you go in with a technology solution in mind without really understanding your business problem, you've already made a fundamental mistake. So just going in and wholesale saying, let's automate everything is probably not a really good solution. When I think about RPA and I think about the platform in particular and micro journeys versus big journeys, really focusing in on a very critical business need to get some traction and figure out where your technologies will play is, to me, the best way that you can start.
How do you identify those?
At Unum, we have CI consultants. They go out and do some business process mapping. So we have process maps that are being created all the time. Ideally, in a perfect world, an IT architect, a business architect, and a CI consultant would analyze a business process and try and determine what the best technology fit is for that particular process. It may or may not be Pega. I don't think Pega is always the solution, just like I would never say that Salesforce is always a solution or RPA is always a solution. You need to make the right technology decision based on the business problem that you have in front of you.
Do you go back and look at the process itself and maybe take a service design approach to re-engineer the process as well?
Absolutely. Often what we find when we go through this initiative with our business partners is there's a lot of waste in our processes from a business standpoint just because of those tightly coupled architectures. So we've built business process around systems that are needed to support that business process. And so if you can take a step back from that and say, well, what is the ultimate goal? What are we actually trying to do here if you take the system out of it? Then what would be the most efficient business process to support that?
One thing you haven't mentioned and is quite near and dear to most finance people's heart is in terms of ROI. How do you look to measure that? Is there a technique you prefer to use for it?
There's a few separate things. We look a lot at turnaround time. A lot of our business processes are very complex and can stretch on for weeks. And if we can cut that down to a matter of a couple of days with straight through processing, robotic components, and an overall business process strategy, then that to me is where we'll start to see some value. We also look at CSAT scores and actually customer experience benefits and how those might weigh into the CBA.
What success have you had?
We've had really great success over the past year. The problem that we tackled on the Pega platform around VB Service Champion, it was a very small segment of our business, but a very highly complex problem. And we have trimmed that down from turnaround time of almost a week to 24 hours, which is pretty significant. The training time in particular was 8 to 10 weeks of classroom time for these people. It's now 4 hours, which is, again, a very significant improvement. We've also seen a 13% gain in efficiency for each team member. Each team member that processes this work on the Pega platform is able to do it 13% faster, which is pretty good.
So that also improved retention as well, because the long training time is obviously a problem if you've got employee churn. And actually, if it's a simpler job, and then you should have less churn. Have you seen that?
Not yet. It's not tangible, I don't believe, at this point, because it's a pretty small team with lower turnover comparatively across the business. However, we do see that these employees, these operational teams, are able to focus on the work that really is meaningful to them rather than having to focus on the work that is remedial or administrative. So they can actually bring joy to the customer. They're excited that they can get these policies out the door in short order and answer the more complex questions and manage those rather than having to fill their days up with operational.
Did you measure employee engagement?
We do measure it. We haven't done it for this group for this specific purpose yet.
What were the main challenges?
Oh, we've had a couple. We elected to go with Pega Cloud, so a Pega hosted cloud solution. And I just think from an infrastructure standpoint, that was relatively challenging. We didn't have the right people internally to Unum engaged in order to configure that to get the best benefit. So that was a little bit of a learning on our behalf. Initially, we had some challenges with staffing. Getting the right talent into Unum from a vendor standpoint was a little bit of a challenge given our very short time frame. We didn't have a lot of time to go out and work with different partners to make sure we were bringing in the best of breed. But we were able to remediate that pretty quickly.
So what would your ideal project team look like then?
I prefer small surgical teams with Pega over large scale teams. If you take the micro journey approach that Alan spoke about yesterday, you can accomplish those with very low overhead. A really good LSA may have accountability for multiple micro journeys, and then you augment that team with a couple of really good SSA developers. You need a really good BA that understands Pega and the business, which is a critical component of a project team, and of course your testing team. So keeping it small, not blown out, I think is a really good approach, and you can get benefit quickly.
That's hard to get a BA who understands the internal business and Pega as well if you've not already used Pega before. So do you need to bring that in from outside who has that industry knowledge?
We took a different approach. We had an employee who was relatively new to Unum as a senior BA and also brand new to Pega since we didn't do the technology previously. Just given her background and her understanding of lean management, she was able to catch on really quickly. So we were able to get her up to speed within a couple of months, certainly augmented with mentorship from myself and from some of the Pega resources we brought on.
As you mentioned before, you've got experience of working with RPA and Pega specifically beforehand. Are there any pitfalls that you've learnt about during your career that you've learnt how to avoid that you can share?
The primary learning for me, well, there's probably a couple. One is, and I alluded to it earlier, no platform is your silver bullet platform. So Pega's not always the solution, just like any other platform. That to me is the biggest learning I've had over the past 15 years. Oftentimes you see people leverage any type of technology just because they have it and not really understand where it's applicable. Being wise about that is pretty important. The other thing that I would touch on probably is looking at RPA as a strategy more so than just the platform holistically. Folks get very excited about the prospects of RPA, and again, the whole hammer and a nail analogy. It's not always the right solution, and oftentimes, if it's used incorrectly, it can add a large amount of technical and fragility to your architecture, which is a little bit scary to have to clean up.
We're here at PegaWorld. What's excited you that you've learned here?
I'm really excited about the empathetic AI and the applicability, especially in our business at Unum. One of our major pillars as an organization is to have empathy with our customers. Customers of Unum that go out on claim or purchase our insurance are purchasing our insurance to protect their income if something were to happen to them catastrophically. If we can show more empathy in our dealings with those customers and with our employers, I think that will be a market leader.
If you've got a wish list for Pega, what's the top element in it?
My experience with Pega over the past 15 years, I started with 5.4. Things have changed significantly for the better. Every year, it's incredibly exciting to see the inroads that they're making from a technology standpoint. What was announced yesterday, teching it, geeking out a moment about the UX components that they're leveraging now, I'm beside myself. I wanted to jump out of my chair, but I would have been alone. I'm very excited to see what that means from leveraging those components and leveraging Pega in other applications. I think that's been a little bit of a challenge to date. With Pega, they have had the web mashup technology for quite some time, but it can be difficult to implement. Using these newer UX technologies and service-based architecture to get to that UX and render it is going to be a game changer for Pega. I'm very excited about it.
You spoke about technical debt. Is there a risk that as people implement and as you implement those micro journeys and you build up RPA applications, in a sense, you increase the efficiency of the organization. Does that make it harder to do a full replacement program of your legacy technology in the future? Because actually there is no longer the cost benefit that there might have been if you hadn't done it before.
I actually just had, I won't say it was an argument, but I had this discussion with my product owner about an hour ago because he was insinuating that it's difficult to make that business case to replace RPA once you've already realized the value. From my standpoint, and perhaps I'm a bit of an ideologist, but it seems as though from an architectural perspective, you have to make those decisions and you have to make that investment or you're just going to find yourself not moving forward. Is there a business case? Maybe it's a little bit more of a challenge, but from a technology standpoint, you can make the case that it needs to be replaced eventually.
You've got a mainframe here. You've got RPAs to increase efficiency on your current processes. If you hadn't implemented RPA, you might look at the larger project and say, right, we need to replace this mainframe with a modern insurance piece of software that does everything the mainframe does, plus integrates into Salesforce automatically, and you've got all that. By implementing RPA solutions, you've deferred that project and you've eliminated some of the cost efficiencies you might have had for that big mainframe replacement.
Potentially. Probably my retort to that would be, undertaking a mainframe replacement maybe isn't where you should be focusing anyway. Mainframes aren't going to go anywhere.
I didn't say you're going to replace it with a mainframe, I suppose,
right,
is the point.
No, but replacing it with another technology, we've tried to undertake that in the past and we've not been successful just because moving all of that data over is just, you'll almost never realize that value. It's too challenging. So you're better off purchasing a new platform, starting to migrate new customers, and then hope eventually you would die off on the mainframe, but that would be such a long road. I don't think RPA would necessarily influence that decision one way or another. Sure, you'll get operational efficiency out of it, but that initiative is such a significant cost that it would be hard to challenge with just RPA.
Thank you very much, Melissa.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.